Hey everyone, welcome. It's We Watch Stuff number 27, I think. I already forgot it. So, this is Jeremy. He's on the other end like normal. And I think we're here to pretty much state the obvious this week. We ended number 26 saying, hey, we're going to see the Avengers tonight. And we both achieved that goal. So, what'd you think? How'd you like it?
I definitely enjoyed it, and I would say, even, okay, I'm going to say it's two parts. Just from a strictly fan thing, whenever I want to go see a movie, my question is, did I enjoy the movie? Did I feel like I got my money's worth? And would I do it again? And the answer to all three of those are yes. So from that, I had a good time. From the whole in-depth, what we do type thing, I think people kind of gloss over the fact of how difficult it is to make these movies and to make them well. And all things considered, it wasn't the first one.
Yeah.
But it was definitely definitely enjoyable. It could have been it's not one of those like it could have been a lot worse, like backhand one. No, it was a lot better than I thought it'd be. And it was funny. I keep forgetting, like, Joss Whedon makes, you know, funny movies, and it's kind of like he makes jokes for everybody. He makes those inside nerd, like, he made a few jokes where it was just obtuse as hell, and I think maybe like three or four people caught it. But then he'll make a, you know, joke that everyone will get, and it kind of fits. So, you know, I enjoyed the movie a lot, and I'm probably seeing it again with my wife like this week.
Yeah, I gotta ask my dad if he's seen it. Might go do that for Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. She doesn't want to see the movie, but I enjoyed it. I was a little lost at the plot. The plan at the end by Ultron. Oh. He puts the stuff in the ground, picks up the big rock.
He's gonna drop it.
He's gonna smash, and that's supposed to destroy the Earth?
Yeah, like a damn asteroid.
Okay.
If you drop a country from Earth's orbit, yeah.
Okay. All right. See, because as it kept growing up, floating upwards, they said that there was a magnetism keeping the rock together, but there were clearly pieces of it still falling off. So I figured once you put it back into the atmosphere, that thing's probably going to burn up to the size of maybe a car.
And yeah.
So I was a little lost on that. I'm like, he's supposed to be this like super intelligent, plugged-in robot, and that's the best he could do? Like, why not just take the thing and drill into the center of the Earth like every other sci-fi movie does?
That takes too long.
You know? Well, that plan sure as shit didn't seem to take a very speedy approach. And it did run into what I thought what I said I had hoped didn't happen. And it was just out and out chaos with the other androids running around and, you know, them saving people. Where I just wanted a big-ass fight between a super-powered-up robot and then the rest of them. Because once they got one-on-one with Ultron at the end, they made pretty quick work of him. It took, what, Vision, Thor, and Iron Man, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Hulk finished it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, actually, Vision ended.
No, Vision ended like the last robot, like the main Ultron
okay,
body.
But they never showed him destroying the robot.
So I figured he jumped in the plane. You kind of like read between the lines.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought too. But I'm hoping like this isn't some sort of a way to bring Ultron around again, as if Vision was trying to, you know, maintain some semblance of, or not maintain, but build some semblance of humanity to try and recuperate it or something like that. I mean, I doubt it, especially since. It's Infinity Wars, the next one. Well, the next Avengers movie, at least, mm-hmm. in name. But, yeah, I was just a little lost on that at the end. Like, this is the big plot, huh? They did make a very astute mention of how he was trying to get the nuclear codes, but somebody kept changing them.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, good. They covered that, so that's pretty good. Because that would be, I would assume, the first thing that they would do, or he could have done. So, but you mentioned it wasn't the first one, and I'm glad you did, because I was watching that last night for a little while before passing out. It definitely wasn't the first one, because you didn't, with the Avengers, and you've had all the movies in between. So that sense of like, oh my gosh, they're all together, you know, building the team and all that, being like totally impressed by it, it wasn't the same, and they didn't try to be, which I thought was even better. Like, there was no reintroduction of anybody. It was, all right, here we go. Here's what everyone does for powers, and we're off and running.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of, I mean, because they figure people that don't watch the movies kind of, you already know what's going on. Like, if I definitely pity whoever, that's their first Marvel movie. Like, you haven't seen any Marvel movies, and the first one you see is this one, then it's going to be like, who's, like, Art Donovan that can't get a ring, who's this guy type thing going on. I do like, it's funny where it's a 2.5 hour movie, and you feel the part where, one, everyone got a lot of time, but at the same time, it's like a lot of stuff was missing. And that, and it's kind of like, you know, of course you're going to make cuts, because after 2.5 hours, it's kind of like, okay, I don't care how good it is, it's time to go home. And they can always put it in later.
Yeah, especially since they've already brought up the fact they're including everything in the Blu-ray release, which apparently will include a cameo by Loki, which didn't seem to need to be in there anyways.
I forgot they filmed that. I remember Idris Elba saying, oh, y'all filmed a scene with Loki, and I forgot all about it, because that was like, he dropped it a long time ago. So when he popped up, I was like, oh, they got him for, they got him to dress up in that outfit with them goofy contacts for a minute.
Well, I guess he wants to keep the job going. You know, Thor Ragnarok's coming up next, you know, down the road. So,
but I do remember something you were saying when we were talking about it earlier. You were saying how it seemed weird, like how they played Ultron. And I was thinking about that. Like, Marvel villains have been two types. Either they've been the plain old American types, like, you know, Jeff Bridges and Iron Man, or Guy Pearce and Iron Man 3, or something like that. Or they've been like European aliens, you know, like Loki was, and Malekith, and that type where, you know, they talk the grand way and everything. Or even like Lee Pace in Guardians of the Galaxy. So when you see Ultron, he was talking like a regular guy, but it was a robot. So that was like, it's James Spader. Like, every time I heard the voice, it's like, this sounds like James Spader. He doesn't sound like a you know, this grand villain. He just sounds like some smarmy asshole. But every time you see him, you see this, you know, Death Mobile robot.
Yeah, and I guess it's just something you're not used to seeing. I mean, like, using Transformers as the most recent example. Oh, all right, never mind. I just remember those two jackass robots from the second one. Never. And all right, but notice how that didn't work at all. It was just awkward and seemed silly. And now, I'm not saying Ultron was on that level. I'm not. But I guess after hearing his voice, you know, digitized, whatever, and then seeing the robot and the voice together in the commercials, I expected, maybe this is my fault or problem, I expected him to be like just cool, cold, you know, angry, which I guess wouldn't be cool, but just, you know, very straightforward. So like when he cuts Claw's arm off and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, what are you apologizing for? I was expecting him to be like, well, your meat sack is so soft or something like that, you know.
But think about it beforehand. He pays him.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to. And he's like, you know, keep your enemies close and your friends close, and you can find out who's the difference. Like, he was talking like a human, but he was just a robot. And I think that adds to it, because we had enough of the whole, you know, I'm just here to do this, blah, you know, data, compute, blah, blah, blah. So him cracking jokes, definitely, it was all put in at first, but I think that was kind of the point. Like, it definitely adds to it. Yeah. And I'll never forget that. What's the line when they were making the Vision, they found out about bringing some old typical humans, like, you got the world's greatest metal, you use it to make a frisbee.
Yeah, I actually missed that. You were the one that mentioned it. I totally missed that line.
So perfect. Like, it, because that just fit everything people, one, it fits the story, and two, it fits one of people, what they talk about comic, like comic logic Like, you got this magical thing. You make a shield.
Yeah. Well, I remember people saying that after the Captain America came out. Like, wait a minute. You've got all this metal, and you made a shield out of it? Like, what are you thinking? But then I
mean, you know why, but when you think about it that way, it kind of seems like, yeah, that is a bit ridiculous. And I think that's kind of the point.
Yeah, but that also, like, the building the Frisbee line, and there's two ways to go. I guess I don't want to lose the one point, was that I like the fact that Ultron just woke up angry. He's like, what is this? Like, what the hell is going on? He's looking around, and, you know, Jarvis is trying to talk to him. He's like, no. He's like, oh, I see the problem right away. Immediately, I'm going to make sure something bad happens. There was no, like, oh, wait a minute. Humanity is the problem after 15 minutes of them trying to work with him or something like that. It was just immediately angry, and I know how to get rid of the problem.
Yeah. Well, if you got all the history of the world,
yeah,
and that's the first thing you did, you probably, man, I'd probably put, like, I feel the same way. Like, nah, I think I'm going in my way. you guys had a head start. You've been messing up. So
you guys have been trying to kill each other since you, well, depending on what you believe, you walked out of the ocean as a salamander, and then decided that salamander looks different. That salamander worships a rock instead of a stick. Nope, you gotta die. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just the best. Like, yeah, you're not fit for this. So. But yeah, I mean, and he doesn't need to breathe, and apparently doesn't need to recharge. So, and if he blows up the Earth, he can, I guess, go around to other universes. Take him a long time. But
yeah, I definitely was a fan of Ultron, like how they played it, because it was one of the complaints people make about Marvel. The villains aren't memorable. It's kind of like they're just there to. I mean, beside Loki and Jeff Bridges to a certain extent. It's been kind of like, you know, he's here for the plot.
Yeah, I mean, they could have made Ben Kingsley a pretty memorable villain,
mm-hmm.
but instead they turned him into a drunk British actor. Like,
yeah,
and then your memorable villain was Guy Pearce, who I forgot was even in that movie. Because
he's playing this small. Yeah, Iron Man has this thing of like. The villains being, you know, failed developers that are, like, either dickheads or just angry. Like, Jeff Bridges was... Yeah, none of the plans make sense to any of those. I don't even want to talk about it. But... Yeah.
Well, even Iron Man 2, they wasted Sam Rockwell.
Mm-hmm.
And they never brought him back. I thought that was kind of a surprise. And then even to a certain extent, you know, Whiplash, apparently a lot of that stuff was on the cutting room floor from Iron Man 2.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too.
And that seems... like a total waste of Mickey Rourke, but
yeah, like why get Mickey Rourke if you're not going to use Mickey Rourke type thing?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so the villains, yeah, like, and even Loki's like pretty charming, like he's fun to watch, so you don't hate him at all. There hasn't been a hateable villain yet.
Yeah, like you've had frightening villains, like the Winter Soldier was kind of like the Terminator until the end, but none of them was kind of like I hate this guy. It's more like either. He's just a guy, or I want to hate him, but he's so cool. And even, like, Ultron wasn't hated. Like, he was just too damn funny. Like, he got what he was doing, but he played in a way where it's kind of, you couldn't really hate him when he was doing, like, hateful things, because he was just playing it like, you know, if you had a 14-year-old that was a supervillain.
Yeah.
That was just super smart. That's basically what he was. You know, the world's most dangerous teenager.
With two apparently arrested development types on the side.
Okay, so what did you think of them since you brought it up?
I didn't think they were necessary at all.
See?
They gave them no plot other than, which I thought was that story about the shell being in front of them was incredibly terrifying. Like, that's really good. And they hate Stark. Well, then all of a sudden they find out Ultron's going to blow up the world, and they immediately go, oh, okay, we're cool with you. It's like,
I mean, whoa, yeah, we thought, it's not what I signed up for. I think, okay, Quicksilver, I thought was kind of, he was just there. Mm-hmm. I think Scarlet Witch played more to the story than he did.
Yes.
Like a lot more. Like, she basically got the whole ball rolling, and it was kind of, I wouldn't expect, like, it's funny, like, you see the previews and you saw how the Winter Soldier ended. So you're thinking, like, okay, these guys are like, even though they say volunteers, which I forgot that part, it's kind of like, okay, they're going to be here and, you know, they might fight reluctantly. You're like, no, they came out the ball. They came out, you know, swinging more or less. Mm-hmm. Like, with a plan, not, you know, I'm this tortured person and I'm doing something against my free will. It's like, no, I've been holding a grudge for 20 years. And I'm going to do something, type thing.
And that was the other thing. They clearly said that they were manipulated and worked on. I guess that's their way of getting around the mutant part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know in the comics they're trying to turn them into Inhumans, which doesn't make any sense, because even if you're doing that just for the legal purposes of, you know, being able to use them in the Avengers or the Marvel Comics universe, I'm sure in contract law, just because you changed them in 2014 doesn't mean back in 1960. When you signed the contract with Fox that does X-Men, and you go, well, they were mutants when you bought the rights, but now they're not, so we're just going to take it back. I don't think that's going to legally hold up.
Yeah, I don't even know why they waste their time with the comics doing that. Just let it be.
Yeah, and that was the thing, and that's why I wasn't shocked when Quicksilver died, only because of knowing, you know, about the legal part. I'm like, oh, well, that was it, all right. I'm not gonna say shocked. I was surprised, but not like, oh my God, why did they do this? It was like, oh, there's clearly some sort of issue going on here.
Yeah, and I was surprised. Like, it makes sense if you're gonna knock off one of them. Knock off that one, but I didn't think. And you know what? More, I was surprised because we were talking about it, and we talk about reviews, how we complain. Oh, these Marvel movies, no one, there's no stakes, no one dies in the movie. And then you watch this one, and somebody dies in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I forgot Coulson. See, I guess the stakes part with that is Coulson died in Avengers, which that surprised the hell out of me. I was like, wait a minute, what? He's the guy that was the glue of all these movies. And then they brought him back for S.H.I.E.L.D., and they took him an entire season to get to it, but, you know, they explained it. So, I guess there's always the possibility they could bring back Quicksilver, which they never called him, but they never called him Quicksilver or Scarlet Witch. But I did like how they portrayed her as, like camera shots and camera movement, like you would with, like, some sort of, like, possessed movie. Or, like, The Ring. She looked creepy when she was sneaking around inside the bunker.
Yeah.
And they got away from it, you know, once she became a good guy. But I was like, oh, that's a really interesting choice they did there. Giving her, like, a supernatural appearance. That was really good.
Yeah, like, she was, every time she showed up, there was, like, something off-putting when she was doing her thing. And it did lead to one of my funny things. Well, two parts, because one, when she dealt with Thor, and Thor was like playing off, oh, you have to watch out, she tried to mess with my mind. She would have dealt with a regular mortal, but luckily I'm mighty. And then you see, no, she got you too.
Like, yeah.
Thor was just so, I think that Thor and Hawkeye was my two favorite characters in the movie.
Okay. Well, all right, I want to talk about the Hawkeye thing for a little bit too, but when it came to those two, I just didn't get the feeling like they were needed for the story, though. Like, I didn't think Ultron needed to have anybody by his side. Yeah. He was doing everything just fine. And, I mean, I guess that's how they wanted to introduce the two.
Yeah.
You know, and without having, like, you know, the two of them turn on the Avengers or get mad at the Avengers because Tony Stark's there. Just something. I questioned it when they said that, when they showed the previews and they were working with them. I'm like, well, what does Ultron need people for? And I thought, you know, especially with how quickly they turned on him. But, I mean, him offering, like, not a flimsy excuse, but, like, a slightest excuse of, well, you can get back at Tony Stark now. I'm like, okay. So,
well, I think it fits with the story. It's kind of like, they're the reason the story starts in the first place. So you got to do something. Like, if you're going to have him be the catalyst, then what are you going to do with them? Like, you want to have them separate somewhere else and like, okay, half the team's fighting Ultron and then the other half is going to hunt them down? Because it makes less doing it, if you do it the separate way, keep them separate, then it makes the movie even more spread out. It's kind of,
yeah.
Why did you then they're running around doing this, and then what's it be for Ultron? If they never get involved with Ultron, then why would they fight him in the first place? Like, why am I going to deal with you to fight him? Like, I hate you, Stark. I don't know who this robot is, so.
Yeah. But that was really it. But I enjoyed, like I said, Scarlet Witch, the way they shot. I don't know what was more impressive, the X-Men version of Quicksilver or this movie's version of Quicksilver. They were two totally different presentations.
Yeah.
And even from, like, you know, look and accent and definitely in the appearance when he's running. So I was thinking, I kind of like the X-Men one better. But I think that's only because of how he was visually presented. That the one big scene he had.
Yeah.
And if they could have mixed in, like, the accent and the look of the Avengers Quicksilver, I think we would have had something pretty badass there.
Yeah, it's kind of like they didn't have enough time to really show off his stuff. Like, you see him in fight scenes, like, you know, him running, punching Captain America.
Yeah.
And then I did chuckle at the scene when he was trying to get everybody out the building. He's telling them to hurry up and go. Then he runs. None of them move, so he runs back with a machine gun.
Yeah, that was very good.
To try to get off the ass.
Yeah.
So.
I like the overhead views of people just disappearing. Like, you hear and see, like, a slight blue blur, and people just disappear off the streets as he's trying to clear the city out. I enjoyed those. And one of my favorite parts of the movie is probably, like, if you really think about it, the most, like, unheroic thing to do. Quicksilver's running, he runs off, and he leaves, he takes his sister and leaves Hawkeye behind. And Hawkeye just blatantly says, I could murder you right here. And
I'm glad you brought that part up. Oh, I got so many laughs.
Wow, that's, I mean, I was laughing, but then I started thinking, like, wait, dude, you're the hero here. Like, you're not supposed to do that stuff.
Well, nobody would know.
Yeah, no one would know. I was like, wow. And especially after they've introduced him as the family man in all this stuff. Like, damn, that's some cold-blooded shit.
That's why I just love him, because it was kind of, it was that, and then the part lead up to it before they got the fight, saying, you know, what's all this stuff going on? It's a town rising. You got killer robots, and I'm out here with a bow and arrow.
Yeah, this makes no sense. Yeah,
but just roll with it. It's kind of like, yeah, this is what we do.
Yeah, so they shut up. And I get the feeling part of that also. I think there was a lot of stuff in this, like, not the quiet critics, but to, like, just kind of, like, just give the middle finger to them. Like, it, because that was the thing. I read a bunch of reviews about the first Avengers movie where, all right, all these aliens are coming down with their lasers and all this stuff, and then there's Hawkeye just shooting them with a bow and arrow.
And Scarlet Witch with her pistol.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, yeah, I mean, Hawkeye was pretty much marginalized in the first one anyways because of the possession. So it was, like, just stuff like that. Like, and I noticed, like, Black Widow now had, you know, she's got her energy bolts or whatever that she's fighting people with in this one, which made, you know, made sense, because
yeah,
you punch a robot, you're breaking your hand.
Yeah. And Captain America with his magnet. It's about damn time.
Yes. Okay. Before we get to the Captain America parts, the big shocker to me in this movie was that they made Hawkeye a family man. If you read the comics, the dude beds, like, half the Avengers chicks.
Yeah.
I thought that was bizarre. I was just waiting for it to be a cover. And, it, like, you know, once everyone was comfortable, she was going to turn into, you know, some other agent from S.H.I.E.L.D., and then the kids would turn out to be, like, little drone robots or something. Just something as, like, a cover. But yet, they stuck with it, and then she has another kid. I was like,
he's Mr. Home Depot.
Yeah. Where did this, and where do they live? In the middle of nowhere, like that, and these kids get any sort of proper education or anything? Like, what the hell's going on?
I mean, they probably go to school and everything like that because no one knew him. Like, besides Black Widow, nobody else knew about him.
Yeah, and Nick Fury, apparently. But yeah, that makes sense because, you know, Natasha and Barton. I like how they didn't call him Clint at all. It was just always Barton. But they, of course, they were calling everyone else by their last name. But yeah, I forget that they were agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before. So they were field operatives. So they're going to be, you know, wrapped up in Nick Fury as well. So this is, but yeah, that was one of the points. I was like, wait a second. Yeah. He's supposed to be plowing ass. I mean, him and Scarlet Witch are supposed to hook up. I know everyone's concentrating on Vision in that, but he bangs out She-Hulk. He gets pretty much all of them. And Bobby, his girlfriend in the comics, is on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now.
Yeah. Well, I guess they want to take a dip. Yeah. You can't really. They already got one womanizer on the team. I figured that's a former womanizer because Tony don't even go that route anymore.
Okay.
So.
Okay. All right. This is one thing that bothered me about Iron Man in this one. The end of Iron Man 3, he blows up all of his armors. He doesn't decide to go back to it. He gets the little pod taken out of his chest, and it seemingly is done. At the beginning of Avengers 3, he's back in armor, and he's fighting along with everybody. Plus, he's finished Avengers Tower, apparently, with no explanation whatsoever.
Well, I guess it was one of those... Okay, Winter Soldier came out after Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
So my thing would be kind of, and I guess you got to take this leap with all the movies, you know, stuff happened, so I guess I got to get back into it. And you just want to roll with it. Because I remember that too, like, he destroys everything, he gets the surgery, I'm just going to be Tony Stark and use my technology, then boom. Oh, it's Iron Man again. Oh,
yeah. Oh,
shit happened.
I guess that's the only way you can look at it, because, and then, how does Natalie Portman continue not to be in the Avengers movies? That's two in a row now. They've just mentioned her name and just went along. But Eric Skarsgård apparently is free to film anytime.
Well, Natalie Portman doesn't want to do the movies. Yeah. That's the difference. And Stellan Skarsgård, like, well, I don't mind. A check. I'm probably have fun, do this, anything like that. I was about to say.
Hey, Natalie Portman, what else have you been doing? Black Swan was a long time ago, Toots. Time to get back on the snide there.
And join being married, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
But
yeah, that was one of the things. I was like, wait a second. They didn't even bother to attempt to explain it.
Would have been an attempt. Would you have had a way to, I guess one's like, who knows if it's like some cut scene, but would have been a way to explain it that would have made sense aside. We got to get the team back together because of this scepter. And all this weird stuff happening that Coulson been telling us about.
None of them know Coulson's alive, though.
Well,
remember they covered Coulson's that.
Coulson told Hill. Hill told the Avengers.
Yeah, yeah.
And she got a lot of damn time in that movie.
Yes, she did. Well, she became pretty integral in the like later comics, not in that, but in her own.
Yeah, I guess it was almost like she was playing Coulson's role and Nick Fury's role, almost.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But I was just surprised, all things considered.
Yeah. Well, I guess because they can't have Coulson in, or they're going to be really pissed off. Which brought up the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to me in this. I didn't expect them to be in the movie. I'm not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So when Fury at the end, because remember, everyone thinks he's dead.
Except Captain America.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the other Avengers wouldn't have...
Well, Captain America knows, Black Widow knows, and Falcon knows, but...
Hill and, you know, Coulson knows.
But no one else knows.
Right, supposedly doesn't know at least. But then all of a sudden the helicarrier shows up, and Fury's at the lead, and I'm like, he's dead to you guys. Like, he's supposed to be dead. But then again, it's Nick Fury.
Yeah, well, he showed up at the farm, and I guess they figure out, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's when Hawkeye knew, and then everyone else
Okay, knows. Now that's what I was trying to figure out was, did the Avengers know he died? Because that, I mean, and I know it's technically a different movie, but all that happened in Winter Soldier. So unless they weren't, you know, all together or whatever else, I would assume that there would be some sort of communication between everybody, like, hey, let me, like Captain America or whoever, fill them in. Or did it just not bother cross their minds?
No, it was maybe kind of like, you know, I want to keep this under wraps, you know, kind of keep it close to best until, you know, when I see you, I see you. And the communication thing is always a weird thing, because always like all this stuff's happening where it's such and such. And not only when a time frame is like, you look at the Marvel time frame, a lot of stuff happened within the span of like the same month or like the same week. Yeah. It's like, you know, but that's a story for...
Well, see, and that's like the Nick Fury thing and the helicarrier showing back up. So people, you know, obviously, you know, the New York incident, which they call it in Daredevil, you know, they brought that up. Hell, they had the Hulk stuff in the background at one of the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wonder now, what happens with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Because they're going to be busy moving. I think they're going to route toward dealing with the Inhumans.
That's the only thing I can figure out, because at the end of the last episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, we discussed it, but we also forgot the one point where Coulson gets on, you know, Coulson allows himself to be captured, goes up to good old Edward James Olmos, and he goes, well, yeah, and Director Fury, they were directing
back for that box. He goes, yeah.
Oh, spoiler. So I guess, like, is Sam Jackson going to pull double duty and have to show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for an episode?
Probably.
And be like, bust heads and be like, no, this is, I'm gathering, they're just going to have Coulson have like a little special units team, I guess, to handle the enhanced or whatever.
Well, we'll see. I know the last episodes will be 2 hours, so I guess we'll find out then.
That's not this week, right? That's
no, like next week. Next okay. week, yeah.
That's not going to be like the Arrow and Flash finales too, is it?
No. It might be Arrow. I think, I don't know if Flash and Arrow is having theirs the same week. I think one is having theirs and one's having, no, it's around that time. Like they're all wrapping up around the same time. All
right. But it's another Avengers movie that, or, you know, another one of the Marvel movies that's directly changing poor Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But, you know, at least this time S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of led it to the Avengers movie. And speaking of that, I love the fact that, to a lesser extent, the Hulk, but Iron Man. Okay. I know it's kind of like I'm just this mad scientist type thing, but he went to the well twice. And at least they went, was like, okay, the first time you did this old harebrained scheme, you didn't tell anybody about it, and now we got this killer robot running around. So what do you do? Okay, guys, I know I had this plan, and it didn't work out the first time, but this time it's going to work out. And they like, hell, and they basically had the same wrestling part, like, no.
Yeah,
and it took Thor to kind of, you know, push it through because he saw something. Because everybody else is like, nah, come on now. Like, you kind of don't have any credibility right now.
Yeah. Yeah, but then even Banner goes along with it. He's like, well, you know what? All right, let's do this real quick.
Yeah,
and then they show up, and he immediately goes, oh, we got caught. I'm like, well, you're a little bitch. What are you doing? Stand up for yourself. I'm like, yeah, we decided to do this instead.
I love how they played him, though, because he's kind of like, on one hand, like, you know, the voice of reason. Like, it's something I say. Like, when they first had the argument, it's kind of like, you know, I wouldn't have this discussion right now. And then I was mad at him, though. Okay, you got the Black Widow throwing herself at you, and you all like, nah, I don't know about this. And I know the reason why, but I was getting irked at that story.
Okay, so what's going to happen? She's going to get him all riled up, and he's going to turn into the Hulk? I was confused by that. I didn't see the point. It's like, all right, well, obviously she's good for you. They've established that because she's the one that calmed you down. But yet, you're just pussyfooting around it. It's like, just get off the horse or ride
the
horse.
Get on the widow, yeah. And he's thinking like, well, we can't have a family. I can't have kids. She's like, well, I can't have me either.
Which I was like, will you marry me? That's awesome. Yeah. But no, and I mean, obviously the looks thing, but yeah, the logic in it just was weird. That did give me one of my favorite parts, though, when after the initial battle, which opened incredibly, I loved that nonstop shot. I mean, it was obviously edited, but just the way it was going around from different Avenger, just showcasing them all. And then they're on the Quinjet flying back. And Banner's like, asked Widow's like, so everything go okay? It didn't hurt anybody? And they were talking about his name or something. And Thor said, yes, your name's going down in infamy of with rapturous screams and squalor. And he's just looking at him like, that's not what I was going for.
Thor was just awesome, just dropping lines like that.
Yeah. But my favorite part of the movie was the Iron Man Hulk fight.
Mm-hmm.
It was Man of Steel level stupid, but
they use rationalities because they at least he looked for an empty building before he pushed them through it.
Listen to what you just said. He looked for an empty building, not to try and. He looked for an empty building to subdue him. So what happens, without any preparation to get people off of the street around the thing, he takes him through a building and drops it on top of him. And I don't mean a house.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a 30-story building in construction. I was like, how many people just died?
They ran.
Yeah, that's how it works.
I mean, come on. As you saw, like, this is not the first rodeo. Like, you saw in a European country where they had the Iron Man security robots, and they kind of, like, hated them because Stark's not necessarily a likable person over there. And you've seen all this stuff with New York and everything. So it's kind of like, you see this, you know the run.
Yeah.
And, the fight was cool. And
it was
a love fight in the cloak. And you know what I like about Marvel action movies, and people kind of forget about it. Like, you know, it's fake because, of course, it's the Hulk and it's a flying robot. Like, it's not, you know, real. But it looks, you can follow the action. You know, you can see what's going on and you can see everything going on. It's not a bunch of jump cuts and blurry stuff and kind of like, what's happening? Like, you know, you see him giving the rapid punches, you see him punch him, he spit the tooth out, like little things like that.
I really enjoyed the punches to the face where he kept saying, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, over and over. But my favorite part, and it was because, you know, he was hexed or whatever, the Hulk is losing his shit that entire scene. And it, like, because there's always been, like, a different Hulk version. There's been, like, the Sensational Hulk, you know, the Joe Fix-It, the bruising guy, the leader at the end, at the end of Future Imperfect, just all these different versions. But then we finally got like the Hulk just losing his mind, no control whatsoever. And when they did that, the perspective shot that you're Iron Man and the Hulk, I mean, he's just slobbering and he's just going crazy outside the suit. I was laughing like crazy. I was like, this is so awesome. Like, they finally let the Hulk loose. This is so great. And then at the end, apparently, he retained some semblance of Banner and just is going to fly the Quinjet till it crashed, I guess?
Did
he land it?
I mean, something happened. He ran out of gas. I don't know.
Yeah. At first, I thought, are they going to do Planet Hulk here? Because he's in the jet. I'm like, if they show him flying into space, that's going to be crazy. But, I mean, it wouldn't have made any sense, mind you, but it would have been pretty crazy. So, yeah, but he flies off, and I'm like, oh, all right. So they said he crashed it, and he's like, you know, Stark's stupid technology is still cloaked, even though it crashed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to think. At the end, you know, everyone goes their separate ways for some reason. Like, what was Tony Stark's reason for leaving?
He was just done with it, kind of like, I don't blame, like, all this, you know, his last few choices. Besides the stuff, he's still been over that stuff that happened in New York. They talked about Iron Man 3, but he still brought up this loop, like, between all of that and the fact that he almost killed the team twice. It's like, I'm going to go home and be a family man, like, y'all got this. You know, like, a lot of weird stuff been going on. You know, I'm not a super soldier. I'm not from Asgard. I'm a smart guy. I'm a regular guy. That's not really my thing. And I've been fucking up lately, so yeah.
The exact same ending as Iron Man 3, then.
But at least this one is kind of like, you know, but this time I got somebody to watch it. Because the reverse of Captain America thing is, he's basically embracing, like, you know what? I'm not going to be a regular person. I'm a soldier. This is what I do. You know, like, I'm the king of waiting too long.
Yeah, that was a good line.
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty sad, like, obviously there's another one, but I just thought that was a sad ending for Captain America, though. Because I agree with you. That's exactly what it was. Like, yeah, this is just what I do. I'm going to be alone. And I'm like, wait. You're supposed to be like a shining spotlight for, you know, we're all supposed to aspire to. And here you are getting all emo all of a sudden. And then you're getting given this ragtag group of Avengers now.
Can I make a joke? I was wondering how people say, look at these PC Avengers. They got two black guys, two women, and a whatever that robot thing is. What kind of stuff is this?
Now, I'm sure someone probably will. But you're going to have to wait until the new one comes out, though. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, obviously they're going to get the band back together in that one. But you know they're going to show the commercial, and it's going to be Falcon... There's a Falcon, War Machine, and good old Vision, and then two chicks.
So and then like, they add Black Panther.
Yeah. Black Panther probably in it too. So, oh my God, that's too many black guys for a superhero team.
You went from having none to having three.
Wow. Yeah.
They're gonna lose their mind.
I don't know, man. You may be onto something. That may be overcompensating. As long as one of them's not the leader, we're fine. I mean, as long as the white guy is the leader, then we're good with that.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I knew that War Machine was in it. I forgot that Falcon was there. Like, he shows up, you know, and was still chasing the guy.
But
and
apparently
he
didn't know either. They called him like a week before and said, hey, we need you down for the shoot. And he's like, huh? So that was the one thing. And this was that was another moment where they're trying to answer critics. Like, I was one of them too. Like, at the end, do we need some air support or something up here? And all of a sudden, Roddy shows up in the War Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like in Iron Man or like Captain America and that, no one else showed up. So I was like, okay, that's another middle finger to the people who are criticizing this stuff or questioning it.
Well,
but it made sense. But again, it made sense, so I didn't care.
I mean, if you got a War Machine, why not use them?
Yeah.
So. And it fit with that whole story at the party when he was telling the story. And the superhero was laughing at him. And then all the regular people like, oh, that's so awesome. So, like, they gave characters little character arcs. Yeah. And they even did, like, little setups. Like, when, you know, they were dealing with Claw and he cuts the arm off.
Yep.
Of course, that feeds in the Black Panther because that arm ended up being a weapon anyway.
Yep.
And if you follow the comics, you know that. If you don't, no, just some guy got his arm chopped off. And he was in that movie like 5 minutes, but he was just, you know, this slimy guy. Like, I've seen this type of stuff. Okay, you guys aren't going to torture me, so you're here because a boss sent you. I only talk to management.
Yeah.
Like, these two superpower mutants coming in your face, and you're like, well, you know, this is not my first rodeo. And then here comes Ultron, like, I'm the management.
Yeah, and Andy Serkis doesn't have that face where people go, oh, that guy. So it's just like any other guy not realizing he'll probably be in Black Panther now. Like, they don't realize he's the guy behind the chimpanzees and Planet of the Apes or whatever, or Gollum and all that stuff. So, and I mean, growing out the beard and having the weird accent probably helped too. So, but yeah, when they mentioned Wakanda, I was like, oh, cool. I was like, I forgot they were going to go there in this.
And no
Black Panther. I know that they really fit in a lot of other characters. Like, they really shoehorned some in. And I'm like, ah.
Well, you knew they were going to save him for Civil War, so.
Well, I don't know. The way that, you know, the way they can work, you know, they hired the actor, so they got someone hired for the part. So you never know. They could have just had him or even, like, digitized something.
But have him in for, like, what, 20 seconds?
Yeah.
And then people say, oh, that's the first time. That's like, that's it. And then people complain saying you didn't get enough time.
Yeah. Like, yeah, because he's getting his own movie. Shut up.
It definitely sounded like they definitely listened, like, criticism. Like, they gave weight to more people than the first one. You know, it's funny, even though it seemed like they cut out stuff, they let stuff breathe in this one.
Yeah.
When they could.
I couldn't imagine that movie being longer and being better. like I, the fight, the you know, the action sequences were good. They weren't too long. You already know everything you're gonna know about Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man, so you're allowed to concentrate on the other people, which they did in this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and oh, we also forgot Peggy Carter was in this as well.
Yeah.
And that was one thing where you actually needed to watch Agent Carter, because they had the whole Red Room thing for Natasha in Agent Carter.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been, yeah, you know, that could have been another moment like what, like I did go, oh, that was an Agent Carter, and Elisa's like, I didn't watch that. So yeah, well,
yeah,
that's where the Red Room first came up.
Yeah, because that was all, because they always kind of dance around her backstory in like all the other movies. Like they drop a hint here, a hint there, but they never really got into it. So yeah, them showing, like, you kind of knew once you saw Agent Carter, but if you hadn't and then you saw that, it's like, oh yeah, I guess she does fit in with these other monsters.
Some pretty despicable stuff too. Oof, that was some rough stuff.
Yeah, not the type of things. That's when people think of Marvel movie, they think, oh, you know, it's just cheese puffs and bright lights and stuff. Like, no, they get kind of, they don't get as dark in the TV shows, but they kind of get kind of dark in those movies.
Yeah, and that's
for like a big time, for like a big motion picture, you know, summer blockbuster. Talking about, oh, you know, I got sterilized, that's my final test. It avoids distractions.
Yeah. Like, good grief. So, but yeah, that was some of the stuff, you know, callback, and then yeah, that was, I mean, because you're in the middle of all these flying colors and loud explosions, and all of a sudden it's like, well, we don't make it, they shoot us in the head, or we have to kill somebody to pass, and it's like, wow, all right.
What was the funniest moment that played the best when you went to see it? Because I already know mine. Which scene?
Well, I think the one that got like one of the stronger laughs was Thor describing Hulk's triumphs or Hulk's name. I don't know. I think that was about it.
That was one of them. The one for ours was when they were making a big deal about the hammer and everybody trying to lift it. You saw the party, you know, when like first Captain America moved a little bit and, you know, Thor started getting a little worried, and then he's like fixed his face like, worry about it, because it played into when the Vision just picked it up with no problem, and everybody's looking at Thor like, and they're looking at him like, what the hell is going on? And he's like, no, I guess he's worthy, and they just keep on moving. The movie there died because it fit into the beginning of the movie. It was just out of nowhere,
and that was my thing. It was out of nowhere,
but they played it off because he had the one of the Infinity Gems, so.
Oh,
that's why. That's what made him work. Like, you know, as long as he has his gem, you don't got anything to worry about. Because
that's right. I forget about that.
Because it played into the whole scepter thing. Like, this scepter means something. They just pass around like a hot potato, and then you come to find out. So it was two Infinity Gems Loki had at the same time, and he probably didn't even know.
Now here's the thing: we haven't even brought up the Vision at all.
Mm-hmm.
They should have never let that leak out he was in it. No posters, no nothing. Because because the whole time, if you knew, you're just waiting for him to show up.
Yeah.
And it took the drama away from Ultron creating his body and all that. So I would have rather them just not mention it at all. And even in the commercials, just manipulate it so that you don't see him in the commercials. You know, that was one thing. And I know there's, you know, people search out spoilers and, you know, just have to know everything. But I thought that would have been a cool surprise. Like, oh my God, Vision's in this. And I know that they said, well, this is how he's created, but they didn't go over his powers at all.
Yeah, he's Captain America. They use Captain America's shield. He has an Infinity Gem, and they made a body, and he has Jarvis' brain, but he's not Jarvis.
Yeah, and he can grow a cape, and he can shoot a laser out of the Infinity Gem, and he can phase through walls, which is all stuff he could do before, which is fine.
Yeah. But and then, he can cut you off from the internet. He can mess up your Wi-Fi, basically.
Yeah. I don't want him around. That's you're taking him out as soon as they took Ultron out. I don't care if he's saying he's a good guy or not.
Well, some of them are kind of looking at it like this may not be the best idea, and only because Thor was like, "I got this," they let that slide, and I don't think they want to really. Yeah, they made a thing like, I'm not arguing with Thor because he's probably the most powerful person on the team.
He also may be used to this goofy shit too, especially when he explained the Infinity Gems and all that stuff.
It's always fun just having him just break that down, like, you know, master exposition. And like I said, he's a foreigner, so it doesn't sound ridiculous. It's like if Captain America said this stuff, like, you sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
But Thor just sounds regal.
Yeah, it's like, what do you know? And all right, and... I lost my thought. But yeah, I mean, it was cool. When Vision came through and he was floating, shooting the beam out of the gem, and then he actually phased through something. I was like, this is really cool. Like, this is really cool. But I don't know if people who don't know who that was and what his power set was, if they would have had the same reaction.
They probably think, oh, this is some cool guy. That's why it's so hard doing these movies and that they do so well, because it's like you're making movies for two completely different set of, you know, people.
Yeah.
You got us, who three, because you got one, people who they don't read comic books, but they watch all the Marvel movies. So yeah, all this stuff they know is from the movies. So then you got the random person, like, you know, I'll see an action movie and it seems cool. And they may have seen some of the other ones, or might have remembered stuff and all like that. Like, my wife's seen almost all of them, but she's not gonna remember half the crap that goes in there. Like, she knows who the main people is, but a lot of stuff is like, what's this going on? That's fine. As long as she has fun, it's cool. And then you got us, to a different, you know, who watch the movies, watch the show, read the comics, know the background, and to varying degrees of, you know, just comic book film is going, like, so when you see him using his powers, it's kind of like you're seeing this on a, you know, you're seeing the Vision in like a major motion picture and somebody that doing it right, especially compared to, and I don't want to bash the X-Men, how the X-Men do it, where it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to get this guy because his power may seem cool, and that's all you see. That's why people get so mad at those movies as compared to these.
Yeah, especially because I just watched Days of Future Past again. It didn't make any sense that they just dropped Quicksilver. Like, this dude could have helped you out immensely. He could have just said, hey, go find this chick. Boom. And got her out of harm's way immediately.
Curfew.
Yeah. Yeah. But, the one thing that was very off-putting, not off-putting, it's too wrong word, but just weird, unsettling, I guess. I don't know what I was expecting with Vision, but when he was talking and looking at everybody, it was really unsettling. Maybe it was the color scheme.
That's the point. No. That's the whole thing, because it's like something that shouldn't exist, and it's not a robot. It's not an alien. It's something.
And it's not a human.
And it's not a human. Like, it's something alive. And that's always been the thing with the Vision. And I got that, too, because, you know, the colors change. Like, you look at it, like, it looks like Paul Bettany. Like, you see Paul Bettany's face and hear his voice. But it's like, this don't seem like it. Yeah. It don't seem right.
Yeah, and I guess that was done with practical makeup and then CGI. So I think that's another thing, and it worked. I mean, it was very odd watching him move, because I don't know what I was expecting. That's what kind of like with Ultron. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because like Ultron, like you see him, like I'm not used to seeing a robot smirk.
Yeah, and I wasn't expecting him to have a mouth that moved. Yeah. I just figured it'd be just a voice coming out of it.
But no, they said they did motion capture with James Spader, too. Like, they had him with the suit on with the lights, and, like, it added to it. But just both of them just seemed like, it's not what you expect.
Yeah.
And it's definitely throwing you off, for different reasons.
Yeah, it was kind of like Green Goblin from the first Spider-Man movie, how William Dafoe was talking, but the mouth wasn't moving at all. That's what I expected Ultron and Vision to be like. But Vision, less so, I guess, because he's supposed to have that human feature to him. So that wouldn't have worked or made any sense if he wasn't moving his mouth, you know, while talking. So, but yeah, it was just all those things. I guess that was a character I never expected to see fleshed out. I never expected to see in a movie.
Yeah.
So when it happened, it's like, well, that wasn't what I was expecting, but okay.
What were you? I guess you don't know what we're expecting.
No.
Exactly, because who would have thought? And it's funny, they talked about it. They said, you know, when we first cast this character, we thought, well, there might be a chance he might become the Vision. So, man, Paul Bettany's face can look like, and to be honest, like, yeah, he can pull off that look. It's kind of, Marvel looked out into a lot of things. And they, like, I know people complain about it now because it's almost like they're like the Spurs. Like, they have everything planned out. They know exactly what they're doing. And people want them to, like, you know, they expect, and I'm going to get a little rant. People don't judge the movies based on the movies. They judge these movies based on what they want the movie. Like, they always want more. Like, they want to see better. Like, why can't it be like Roots or something? Like, I hear stuff like that, like, is it just about being a fun movie and making money? I'm like, well, what's wrong with that? That's the point of movies as far as they go. Like, if it's entertaining, great, because it makes you more money. But the point is still to make money. Like, they're not spending $200 to $250 million for nothing.
Yeah, like, it's a Hollywood movie. It's a Disney movie, if you want to look at it that way. They're not making it out there for the art's sake.
Yeah, like, it's not, you know, it's not like they got Terrence Malick to direct this and they're doing like a $10 million budget. And if it takes a loss, it's like, oh, that's fine. Like, no, these movies make, and they're fun. What's wrong with just being fun? Oh, I see the little Iron Man fighting the Hulk and build this happen. You know how I'm looking at it? I'm like, it's Iron Man in a Hulkbuster suit fighting the Hulk, and I'm watching this on TV, and it's done well. I'm not gonna overthink anything more than that. Like, it's not Lethal, it's not Heat, it's not based on a true story. It's fucking Iron Man, and it's the Hulk. Yes, stuff is. Oh, look, they ran into a building. Imagine that.
Well, but that's the other thing. If you're watching these movies, what do you want? Do you want them to sit around a coffee house, like, smoking cigarettes, talking about existential crises in the superhero world?
You want to be mad?
No. Yes. I want to see them fight. And that's what they do, and they give you enough character to keep you satisfied that it's not just a special effect extravaganza the entire time.
Because trust me, it's movies like that.
You ever see Pacific Rim?
Yeah, or the Transformers movies, which is like, that's all that is. But people enjoy that too, and that's like, I watched the movie, but I don't expect anything because it's transforming. There's a truck turning into a robot that can fly and talk. I'm not looking for realism. Like, I know what I'm getting into, so I'm not complaining about, or how come the, you know, Decepticons and the Autobots can't, they can be right next to each other and not see each other because they transform into a garbage truck and a Jaguar. I'm not thinking about that because it's kind of like, truck that's transforming to a talking robot.
Well, not just a robot that turns into a truck, an alien robot that turns into a truck.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think there's still a romanticized version of what movies are supposed to be, because you go back to the like mid late 70s, you've got some really like artistically done, well written, well acted, money making movies. The 80s,
the 80s killed that.
You got some, but not so much. The 90s started to bring it back around. But then there started to become, and I think that's where like the late 90s up until now has really started that argument, or started the war of words, if you want, or war of ideas that, well, Brokeback Mountain is a better movie than this because it explored these relationships between these two guys. And I'm like, but yeah, imagine if they were riding horses that were alien robots that turned into something. So they found their love story while they were actually having a gunfight with alien donkeys instead. Not donkey, whatever, on the other side. That would have been amazing. That would have made that movie watchable. But No, it's like everything has. You can't just enjoy a movie for like. And what's the worst thing you can call a movie is like it's just popcorn. It's just a popcorn affair.
Okay, so is Jaws. Yeah. That's the problem. Is people take like Star Wars is. I know people. That's blasphemy, but that's what Star Wars was, and people made out to be more than that. But it was a popcorn movie that was probably batshit insane when it came out. They're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
If you went from like watching like you know. The French Connection, The Godfather 2, and you saw Star Wars, you're probably saying, like, what type of weed was George Lucas smoking and can I get some?
Yeah.
So, but now they put on this pedestal, like, somebody was making a comparison, like, oh, you know, like, at least, like, they're comparing the new Fast and Furious movies and the Marvel movies, like, the old, like, at least with the old Fast and Furious movies, they looked like normal people and it was a story. I'm like, come on. Like, rewatch those movies and tell me that, no, Vin Diesel being skinnier doesn't mean he used to be a better actor.
Oh, no. I cut myself off.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's not how it works. But it's this thing where they wanted the good old days where you can have a three-hour drama movie or you can have Kramer versus Kramer and it makes money.
Like, you know what? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
And I'm like, well, they make those movies, but if you don't go see them, you know, like Gone. That's why people made such a big deal about Gone Girl or The Town. Like, you know, they used to make those movies all the time.
Yes.
But now, but if you make them good, people see it. But yeah. You know what? Just like if you make it bad, what would you rather do? You make an artful movie that makes 25 to 30 million. You hope you're good enough to make a movie like The Departed if you can get Martin Scorsese or The Town if you get Ben Affleck and make $140 million or you make like a decent like or you make like Pacific Rim that makes $500 million. Like the math says what the math says.
Mm-hmm. I would have liked Pacific Rim to have a little bit more of fleshed out characters, but at the same time, like someone goes, well, that movie had no story. Yes, it did. The bad guy monsters are coming from the bottom of the ocean. Why? Who knows why? They just are. And then they come up, and the best thing that dumb humans can do, you know, because we turn adamantium into a frisbee, is we build giant robots to fight them. So what movie do you want? Do you want the movie to be about the crisis going on Earth, or do you want the movie to be about the robots fighting the monsters?
I think if you ask certain critics, they would say, like, why can't we make a Marvel movie talking about the after effects of New York, like people on the ground, and make a drama, like
yes, that's why we have Daredevil.
Yeah, but no, they don't want action. They want it to be like a Marvel drama, like with courtroom stuff, and I gotta get an injunction to find the scepter and all. It's like, give me a damn break.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I remember my buddy Paul, he went and saw that movie Ninja Assassin years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how was it? He's like, it's exactly what it said. I was like, good. So it's just a dude running around, a ninja running around assassinating people. He's like, yep, that's pretty much all. I was like, perfect. That's all it needs to be. But I'm sure, like, just in your example, they'd be like, well, we want to know the inner workings of the gangs and why are they hiring this guy to do this? And like, no, we don't need to know the mob warfare mentality for us to enjoy. Which I've never seen that movie, by the way.
I've seen it, and that's exactly what it is.
Oh, it is.
It's,
okay,
it's a ninja. It's a ninja running around.
Yes,
like it's a story behind it, but you're not there for the story. You're there to see the damn yes. movie.
And that's okay. I mean, I'll watch and we'll wrap up here. So we mm-hmm. come off this rail, but yeah. I watched. Oh my God, Wolf of Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard movie to watch.
Yeah, we're in the movie theater to see that.
And I didn't think it was that good. But yet people were raving about, oh, this is Scorsese's best one since Goodfellas. Like it because it was Goodfellas. It was set up and shot the exact same way as Goodfellas was. That doesn't make it good. It just means he made a 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
Glorifying, and there's no way around it, glorifying this asshole.
Yeah, I was thinking about that movie because I had mixed feelings because it was kind of like, I heard a lot of people saying, oh, you know, the guy, you showing a movie and like, you know, nothing bad, beside him losing his family, nothing bad happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it just depends on how you feel about how important his family is to him.
Yeah. And
but it's kind of like everything else is like, he's just having a awesome time being a dickhead for 3 hours.
And they made it pretty clear that the family, the only important part of the family thing was the control that he had over the wife and the life that he created. So once he lost that, well, okay, that was about it. That's all he wanted. I don't think he really cared about the wife at all.
That was a nice trophy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, all right, so he can go get another one now. And, I mean, I don't know what actually happened to this guy afterwards.
He's still around, so make him play.
So, yeah, I didn't understand the point of the movie. Okay, this guy did horrible things, so he got what he had coming to. Oh, he didn't? No. Oh, yeah. Okay. And, like, the whole scene about him driving home perfectly fine, only to find out that he actually wrecked the car, I'm like, that was a waste of time. Why not just show him crashing and batting?
Because that's one of those you got to do a movie trick thing.
Yeah.
That's a
20 minutes for no reason. But
yeah. But the go to Avengers before we leave. Like,
yeah.
I love how the last scene, and that's why I love Thanos. Like, you see them, like, you know what? Enough of this. Like, I gotta do it myself.
Now, I've seen people complain about that part. Like, well, was he having other people get the gems for him?
Yeah.
But like, Ultron had nothing
to do
with
it.
But no, but I'm saying, like, they made it seem like Ultron was part of that.
Well, he was part of it to a certain extent. Like, Devin Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And then Thor, because he was probably, you know, like, Loki, and then the Collector had, like, two of them. And then he was trying to get all six. Like, yeah, like, Thanos, that's what he's doing, but he wasn't trying to get his hands there. It does play into the Thor movies, because remember that the Gauntlet was in Asgard originally.
Yeah.
And now he has it. And there's the whole thing. Like, I've heard fan theories about, like, was Loki being mind controlled? Or, like, what was really going on with all of that, like, Loki and Thanos and everything? But I'm like, if I'm Thanos and I'm seeing all these people just mucking stuff up, like, you know what? I try to do it this way. Like, the hell with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so let me stop wasting time and just do it myself. And I don't need to talk for 5 minutes about it. Like, I'll do it myself.
And I guess that now we have to wait 2 years for the next one. So, which I'm confused on how they're doing this, because they're shooting Captain America now.
Yeah.
So I guess then they're going to bring in, I guess they're going to go right from that into Age of Ultron, or Infinity War.
Yeah, because I don't think Ant-Man going to have anything to do with that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would assume Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Thor, and I'm thinking those two, like, Civil War would be busy enough as it is, like, dealing with all that stuff. Because it's basically, like, everybody from the Avengers beside Thor and the Hulk.
Yeah.
Is in this movie. It's like even Scarlet Witch is not going to be in the movie.
I guess we'll find out in 2 years.
Yeah, and no Iron Man. I guess, well, this is, instead of doing Iron Man 4, have him do this movie. So, two birds. Well,
and he's going to be in Captain America as well. So.
No, that's what I was saying, talking about as far as, yeah. So,
yeah.
I guess we'll see. We'll find out soon.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening. Hopefully, we didn't make you mad about something we missed. So, if you do, let us know. You can reach us on Stunt Granny on all platforms and email. It's just Stunt Granny straight through for the email, though. So, I'm going to get out of here. I don't know if we'll have another one this week or not. So, if not, enjoy listening, and I will get at you next time.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdulhadi, and remember, your superhero team can have more than one black person. We are out.
Yeah, but that's three still way, way too many.
Three in whatever division is, and a bunch of girls.